we go. So I am here on behalf of the bishop and our diocesan staff to begin the process of helping you during this time of transition. So this is just an informal opportunity for you to get questions answered and kind of for me to signal to you what is on the horizon. So you, how many of you have been in a church that's gone through a pastor or rector transition in the past? Okay. So you know how this goes, right? Everything takes longer than you want it to or you thought it could. It's the way it goes. So the good news is we think that we have a possible candidate for interim rector that your vestry will interview this week. If they like this fish, it's a keeper. And we'll get a contract and all of that. If they don't like this fish, we'll throw it back in the water and I will go fishing again. So that's the way it works, right, is the bishop and I offer an interim candidate. There aren't nearly as many interims as there used to be. It used to be that you actually had like a big pool to choose from, and that's no longer true. So fortunately, we think we have a really good one to present to you, but you'll be the judges of that. So your vestry will decide whether or not to call this person on contract, right? So, and an interim rector has all the rights and privileges thereto appertaining. So when you, except for tenure, right, that's the difference. So when you elect a rector, that person has tenure and stays with you for an indeterminate amount of time. This interim rector, who, by the way, cannot become your rector, right, cannot become your rector, is for time certain. And that is the time of the search, right? Rather than a specific number of months, it's the time of the search, okay? What happens after that, after we get that kind of settled, then there's usually 2 or 3 months for your interim to get settled in here, for you to kind of get to know that person, see how they operate, kind of get things kind of running along. And then the bishop and I come alongside you all and the interim and start the search process. The first step in that is to get a search team together, a search committee. That committee, anyone who is a communicant in good standing can be a part of that committee. It's selected by through a nomination process. So anybody can nominate themselves, or so you can nominate somebody else, which is always a good idea, right? And then the vestry actually helps, you know, select those. The vestry selects those people, and the bishop and I and your interim support them in that process. Usually the search committee is about 8 to 12 people, something like that for a congregation this size. And then, as you probably have experienced, the search committee then really talks to you about what the mission and ministry of this congregation is now. And then you build a profile around that information. And then you get applicants to interview. And there's several interview stages usually. And one, the search committee presents one person for consideration to the vestry after all of that process. And then the vestry interviews them, and if they think that's a good fit, then they're elected. The vestry elects them your rector. Does that make sense? Whew, okay. Now I'm sure I've answered all your questions now. So what is it that you feel like you want or need to talk about in this transition? Questions, concerns, ideas? Be brave, now's your chance.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
What is the primary role of the interim rector?
Okay.
Is it distinct from a permanent one?
Ah, good question, right? She asked if you couldn't hear her, what is the primary difference in the role of an interim rector and a rector? I would say the primary difference is that there's sort of a set of, technically they're called developmental tasks, which sounds very awful, but there's a series of things that an interim wants to make sure that you all have kind of down in your community. If there are issues that need to be worked through, then the interim works through those with you. So it's really equipping you for the transition and for next new things. So that's probably the biggest difference, is that the interim comes with kind of a list that you wouldn't necessarily have, or even I would necessarily have, to kind of things to kind of look for and check off. Somebody this morning asked me about interims that tip over the apple cart, and as a way of leading in the time of transition. We're not so much thinking that when you tip over the apple cart, that makes for good stability and decision making. So there will probably be challenges and changes during the interim season, but really part of the job of the interim rector is really to get things on a good, even keel and ready to move forward. Does that make sense? Okay. What else?
I have a question.
Yes, Flo.
The last time we had went through this process, we, as the not only the vestry interviewed the interim rector, but we had a chance of those who are head of ministries to talk to him before they actually selected him, and gave him a chance to get to know what our ministries were, and us a chance to get a feel for him. Would that be possible again?
So she's asking, she said that before the rector was actually elected or presented to the community, the heads of ministries had an opportunity to talk to that person. So I don't know the answer to that question at this point. We really try to, part of my role is to help to design a search process with you that works for you. That does not mean that every single thing is up for grabs, because there are ways that we do the search process that are really intentional, right? And, you know, a congregation goes through a search process every 5 to 10, sometimes 20 years. Transition ministry officers and dioceses do several a year. So, you know, that kind of gives us a window into what's working now, and the wisdom of how to do a search process evolves. So I can't answer all those technical questions, but certainly you can say that again later on, and we can work on that. What else? Yes, sir.
You mentioned that the interim rector could not be considered as a candidate for the rector. What if that person is somebody that fits the church and likes and is a perfect fit for the church? Why could they not be considered?
Because that person, he's like a pinch hitter, right? He's somebody who is called into the game for a specific task. And interims that are trained interims that do this, like, they do it because they love that particular ministry. And so it really kind of, it really robs the search process of its full potential to say, here's the rule, we're not going to do this. I mean, it's sort of like bringing somebody in and saying, well, you know, you can try this guy out. You can't try anybody else out, but you can try this guy out or gal out and see, you know, if you like them. I mean, yeah, it's not a practical solution.
So it's like a rebound boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, it's sort of like a rebound boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah. You know, you get to talk things out, right? I mean, I know that the departure of your last rector was not completely smooth, right? So you got some things to work out. So you work them out. That's what this season is for. Yes.
Diocese, do you expand the search to other dioceses?
So she wants to know, I don't know why I'm, so she wants to know if, you know, when we go into the search process, I guess for the interim or for the rector, is it a church-wide process or is it just the diocese? And the answer to that question is it's a church-wide process. So once you put your profile together, any Episcopal priest can be nominated, any Episcopal priest can be invited to be a part of the search, and then it's a discernment process about who's the best fit. But it's open to the entire Episcopal Church.
And they all want to move to Keller.
That's right. Well, actually, many of them will want to move to Keller. And I'll tell you a little secret that I probably shouldn't tell you. Lutheran, ELCA Lutheran pastors are fair game as well. Because we are in full communion with them. So, now, don't go telling Bishop Groenberg that I said that. But the truth of the matter is, when I first came to this diocese, I served a Lutheran church for a year as an interim. And so we are interchangeable. The deal is that if we want to invite a Lutheran pastor to be part of a search process, we have to be in conversation with that person's bishop, and they also have to have served as the leader, in their case, the head pastor of a congregation, for a minimum of 5 years. So in other words, and the same is true for us if we're crossing over and serving in a Lutheran congregation, because they want to be sure that you know your own tradition before you go trying to play in somebody else's sandbox. They're similar, but they're not the same. What else? Yes, sir.
I know there are a couple of priests in this diocese who came in because of curacy.
Yes.
Are they also game to be invited to our parish?
Oh, okay. So I'm trying to think who he's talking, who Joel's talking about. So your own curate is not fair game. So any current staff of a congregation is not somebody you can call as rector. And the reason for that is we've tried that. Actually, in the church, we've tried it many, many times. And the percentage of times that it actually works is like 5 to 10%. And in part, that's because you hire your curate to do certain things, you fall in love with them, then you expect them to do a whole bunch of things that you never said that was part of the deal, but your curate loves you too, so everybody says yes, you know, because you like each other. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't usually set you up for success, because, you know, after a year, the honeymoon's over, and then, you know, by then that person has not fulfilled the role you thought they were, but some people still thought they were the curate and will always treat them like the curate. So that's a tricky thing, and we don't typically do it. What else? Oh, other curates. So I'm trying to think who we've got. Yes, but he is a priest in charge, actually. So he will probably stay there. So I can't think of another person that's like right in the zone for this right now, but I could be wrong about that. What else?
Boy.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. What else? So what I hope you will do during this time of transition is be in communication with each other, right? So, and I do not mean gossip in the parking lot. What I mean is bring your thoughts, prayers, concerns forward to your senior warden, your wardens, your vestry folks, and your new interim rector when you have one. And really kind of use this time as a season of discernment, right? And hopefully in that process, each of you will be transformed. There will be change that happens in you because you're part of a healthy process with people who are also in the boat with you, in the change boat with you. So that's the hope. If you have questions about diocesan stuff, if you have questions about how the search is supposed to work, I'm your person, and you can call me. So we don't do triangles, right? We don't do you talk to me because you don't want to talk to your wardens or your interim. We don't do that. So if you come and talk to me, I will ask you if you've, you know, talk to your people. who are here, and we'll work together on solutions. What else? Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any suggestions on how to help our congregation heal?
So I know. Of course, I think about this all the time because you all are not the only ones who have, you know, I mean, by the time a rector is gone, there is always some ripple left behind. It's just the way life is. Not everybody loves everybody equally. Not everybody approves of everything that everybody does. And there are ripples. So the question is how to heal. That's what Brandy asked. And at the most fundamental level, that's a project that starts with ourselves and our own souls. So quite frankly, the place that starts is for me to go to my spiritual director, for me to go to my counselor, for me to, parking lot conversations are tempting, but they usually don't do it. The question is, if there's hurt, the question is, how is it caused? How did it impact me? Because that's how we're responding to the world, right? Whatever happens, some people are hurt by it and some people aren't. And you think, well, what happened here? Like, why isn't everybody upset if I'm upset? People have different experiences of life. So you start with you. Are you upset? Are you hurt? What are you upset about? Go to people who can be really helpful to you and who won't just agree with you. And people who will challenge you to think about you and how you can make things better. And then once you're kind of squared away and you understand what part of this is yours, then the community starts to heal. And your interim rector will help with that, right? That's part of the interim rector's task, is to hear those stories, whatever the stories are, and not reach into the past and try to solve every problem. That's not what an interim rector does. The interim rector builds a bridge between the already and the not yet. That's an interim rector's task. So just like your rector isn't everybody's personal counselor, also your interim rector is not everybody's personal counselor or spiritual director. There are boundaries in those relationships for a reason. but they can help the group. It's the interim rector's responsibility to help the group then figure out what needs to happen and what needs to move forward. And if there are group things that need to happen, then the interim rector helps coordinate those. Okay? What else? See, they left y'all standing up so you wouldn't ask questions all afternoon. That was not my idea, by the way. I did not set that up. All right. I hope, yes.
So many of our ministries have not really been torn down, but they have all been rebuilt. So I guess what I'm asking is how are we trying to rebuild and strengthen those ministries? Yeah.
Right. Right. So your interim rector will be your partner in that, right? Your interim rector. When a new rector comes, I'll speak from my own experience, right? So as a new rector, I walk in the door and everybody says, "What about fill in the blank," right? What about this project that was left unfinished? What about the volunteers that didn't show up for this thing? What about this part of this ministry that needs to be revitalized? What about? And a good rector or a good interim rector says, okay, tell me a story about where it is you want to go. Most good stories start that way, right? Not where have we been? We get to that, but where do we want to go? Where do we want to go now? Because the fact of the matter is, some ministries dwindle and die because they have finished their season. Or their season in that particular form. And that is sad, it is hard, but you have to really think about where are we going? And then once you say, okay, this is where we want to go, it's like, okay, well, what do we need to do to get there? Well, we need to talk about the grief or the frustration or whatever that, you know, was part of this thing that isn't the way it was, right? We all remember ministries and stuff in their glory days. and so then it's like, okay, what should be now and how do we get there? Because our goal is not to go back to the past. Our goal is to go to the place God is calling us to. So then your interim helps you with that. So if you get it, you know, so I would anticipate that, like, there's not a lot of, like, new things started in the next 6 weeks. That you kind of let things, you know, relax into the summer, take some deep breaths. You'll have supply clergy every week. That's already, Father Scott set that up before he left. Christopher, you'll get to hear plenty of Christopher. I hear that you like that. And so then hopefully we'll have somebody in place and you'll build things together. And the interim rector will be really careful to help discern with you which of those things are temporary things and which of those things are probably which of those things will probably, like, the new rector probably won't want to come in and say, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. You know, because there's some standard things and some less standard things. So, does that make sense? Okay. What else? Anything else? We good?
So you're saying we don't have to mow the lawn anymore?
There is change and there is change, and that is all I'm saying. And you don't have to mow the lawn anymore if you find somebody to do it, oh, junior warden.
I have a question.
Yes.
So in truth, is there anything we have to fear from anything in this process?
Oh, sure. Right, exactly. Yeah. Fear itself, he said. What do we have to fear in this process? Fear itself. And really, I preached about one of the things you need to just keep an eye on, right? Your own anxiety. When are you acting out of just like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next, right? And we can just wind that puppy up until it runs over us and everybody else. Some of us are more expert in anxiety than others. We've practiced more. But that actually is exhibit A of what to do. Right? To be able to... No, I mean this. I mean, just say what you said, which is, I feel anxious, right? These things make me anxious. If we can say that about ourselves, or you know, maybe some other folks were mad at Father Scott when he left, but I actually am grieving his departure, right? If we can say where we are, right? Which, for some of us, is difficult, right? To say, this is where I am. Like, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm grieving, I'm mad, I'm, you know, and anger, here's the thing about anger, right? Anger is a secondary emotion to a lot of other things. Grief, frustration, sorrow, right? It's part of the grief process, anger is. Harm of some sort, right? But anger is a secondary emotion. So if people come to you and are angry, or if you are angry, then you need to spend some time in silence and figure out, what are you angry about? Like, and what is the feeling that, what, you know, where does that touch you in a way, you know, where you feel betrayed or where you feel hurt or where you feel whatever? Loss is another one, okay? Yes.
He fought tooth and nail for us to have the labyrinth out here. Try walking that.
Oh.
In your own, don't put any music in, just enjoy the outside. Now, granted, it's a little warm, so put some sunscreen on.
Yeah.
But it's helped me considerably just to kind of relax my thoughts and find things positive when there are negative out there. So.
There you go. There's another tool, another resource, right? That is a great parking lot conversation, by the way. Can you help me fill in the blank, right? can you help me, like what resource can I find that will help me with my prayer life? All of our prayer lives get stuck at some point. So, you know, what will help me get to the next place where I need to be? So, yeah, so that's... Pretty Memorial Garden, go pull weeds. That's great. Thank you. No, seriously. Yeah, be constructive. Often you feel better after that. So, yeah, I want to be clear about this thing. What do we have to fear? We have to fear not listening to each other, right? We do not have to fear that somehow somebody other than God got in charge and, you know, the whole thing is going to hell in a handbasket, right? Look around this room. Look around the, when you go to worship next, look around at the people there. These are people of great goodwill. Like you, they have found something in this place that has touched their life. And so you're in this together. This is a group sport, team sport, and God is in charge, and God will not let you down. We can make it longer for each other, we can make it more painful, but we can also make it more filled with grace, more filled with hope, more filled with joy as we encourage each other along the way. So I just really encourage you to have confidence in God, because last I checked, God was in charge. Some days that makes me frustrated because I think I know better, but, you know, mostly I don't. So I only know better when I actually agree with God, as it turns out. All right, anything else? All right. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for continuing to love this community and try to help it move forward together.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.